We welcome you to our website broadcast coming to you from Peace with Christ Lutheran Church here in Fort Collins, Colorado. This Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent, and Pastor Magruder is basing a sermon on the gospel coming from St. Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. The psalm for this Sunday is Psalm 122, and the Old Testament reading is coming from Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The epistle you can read in Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Now here is the pastor, David Magruder, the pastor of Peace with Christ Lutheran Church, with the sermon for this Sunday, entitled, Ready for the End.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. Jesus said, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. There is a sense on this Sunday that something is different. The colors on altars are different. Out with the green, in with the blue or the purple. Parts of the divine service are different. It's Advent, from the Latin adventus, or appearing, as in Jesus appearing in the flesh in the womb of Mary. But Advent is doing quite a bit more than that. In fact, Advent sort of sets the mark of what Christianity does. So, for instance, when we remember that we are creatures and God is the creator, or how we are sinners and God is holy, when we consider this gap or this difference between us and God, something happens in us and all humanity. People deep down realize this. And we think that we must bridge the gap, that we've got to climb into heaven, that we've got to clamber up to find God. And so we have all the religions of the world, all the philosophies of the world, all the moral structures of the world trying to appear before God to be good. But Christianity comes entirely differently. It says that man is not ascending to God, but rather God is descending to us. God comes to us. God comes to you. That is the theme of Advent, the coming of God to humanity, to be our brother, and to be our Savior, and to be our friend and Redeemer, and that in the future, Jesus will come again. There are a lot of unknowns when we think about our own futures, but one thing stands out like a light in the darkness: the promise that the Lord Jesus will return in glory, that he will stand on the earth, he will call us out of the grave, that he will divide the sheep and the goats, that he will bring us into the new heaven and the new earth. But when is that going to happen? When will it be? We don't know. And that is the point of our hearing God's word today, that this day, this hour, is unknown. The disciples want to know, Lord, when is this going to happen? And Jesus not only tells the disciples that they can't know, but Jesus says that the angels don't even know. And then Jesus says, I don't even know, only the Father. Now that's an amazing thing to say, that this day is not only unknown, but it's unknowable. And it's that way on purpose. But think, what if that day was known? What if Jesus would have said, I'm going to come back on this date next year at 10 a.m. Mountain Time? How would things be different? If Jesus gave such specific information, all the teaching that follows from Jesus in the gospel about the need of constant watchfulness, or the importance of working for Christ in faith, hope, and love, with purity, self-denial, endurance, all of this would have been lost. What has sustained the church during persecution and suffering through the centuries, what has given her courage for the battle, with steadfastness to bear, with love to work, with patience and joy and disappointments, all of this would have been lost. The church would not have been that of the New Testament had she known the mystery of that day and hour, and if she was not waiting for the immediate coming of her Lord and Bridegroom. So the church, you and I, are marked by this patient readiness. We're ready if the Lord returns next week or next month or next year or 10 years or 100 or 1,000. We're ready. We're patient in waiting for it. But we're also ready if the Lord would come back this afternoon. We are ready at any moment. We are ready to stand before Him in judgment because our sins have been washed away in the blood of Christ. And we're ready to live our lives in this world. That twofold readiness, ready for the end and ready for the now. This becomes the mark of the church in the New Testament, in our age. But it becomes difficult for the world. And this is what Jesus is talking about. This is how Jesus says it. Just as in the days of Noah, so will be the time before the coming of the Son of Man. And Jesus tells us what the days of Noah were. People were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It was life. And this isn't a problem because Noah and his wife had his three sons and their three wives, and they were also eating and drinking and apparently marrying and being given in marriage. That's not the problem. The problem with the people in the day of Noah is not what they were doing. It was what they were not doing. Namely, they weren't building arks. They were not listening to Noah preach. The Lord came to Noah and he warned him, hey, the flood is coming and it's going to wipe out humanity. And that's one of the most difficult texts in all of Scripture when we read about how the Lord looked upon this world that he had created. And it's filled with people that are in rebellion against him. And he looks at this world and he regrets it. He regretted that he made man. So he's going to come in judgment. But he goes and warns Noah of the coming judgment, and he sets him to build an ark. And Noah works and builds and preaches for 120 years. And after all of that preaching, his church has 8 members in it. He preached and he built, and the people ignored his warning. Just as in the days of Noah, so will be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. People are eating and drinking, they're marrying and being given in marriage, and ignoring the fact that judgment is on the way, ignoring the warning of the flood, ignoring the warning of the Lord's return to judge the living and the dead. And so this is why the Lord Jesus speaks to us in this way, so that we would hear this preaching of Noah, the warning of the end, the preaching of repentance, and so that we would be ready. Now, there's another passage in Scripture that I just want to touch on. Because when Jesus is talking about the days of Noah, he's talking about what the people are doing, eating and drinking and getting married. But there is a beautiful passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 that talks about what God is doing in the days of Noah. What is God doing? It says that he is, in his divine forbearance, long-suffering. In other words, while the Lord is waiting to send the floods, he's suffering and patiently waiting. Why? Because he desires for people to come to repentance, for people to be saved. That's why he's waiting. He's waiting so that those who now mock Jesus might turn from death to life. He's waiting so that we would turn from our trust in ourselves and turn to trust in him, so that hearts would be turned from the idolatry of the ages to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be found in him and found ready. And this is what we are now, by the Lord's mercy, by the forgiveness of sins, by the white robe of Christ's righteousness, which he placed on you when you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are ready. You're ready to stand before the Lord in judgment, and you're ready to eat and drink and to marry and be given in marriage if the Lord's judgment doesn't come, because you're a child of God, because your sins are forgiven. So if we wait for 5 more minutes or 5 more centuries, we are found ready to stand before him. In Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let the family of Christ confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please join us in the prayer that the Lord has taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The prayer of the day. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
We thank you for joining us here on our website service. So until next week, go in peace and serve the Lord.